Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a slightly different approach. We're treating this session as a strategic briefing curated for the team at Eureka Business Group.
And frankly, it's a critical week to be doing this kind of analysis.
It really is. We're taking the massive stack of commercial real estate news from the week of February 11th through the 19th, 2026, and distilling it into actionable intelligence.
Right, because if you were only watching the stock tickers this past week, you'd think the sky was falling. But if you look at the actual deal sheets, the picture is completely different.
That's the hook right there. We're looking at a huge contradiction. Wall Street is in a total panic over this so-called AI scare trade.
It wiped billions off CRE stocks in 48 hours.
And yet, when you look at the on-the-ground fundamentals, especially in retail and lending, the story is actually causative. It's resilient.
It's the classic disconnect between sentiment and reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the Eureka team, that disconnect is where the opportunity is.
Exactly. If everyone else is paralyzed by a stock chart, that's when you go close the deal.
Mm.
So let's map out our agenda. First, we're going to unpack that macro disconnect, why giants like CBRE and JLL saw their stocks tank despite posting, you know, record earnings.
We need to see if there's fire behind that smoke.
Right. Then we'll get into the K-shaped retail market. It is really a tale of two sectors right now.
And then we're bringing it all home to Texas. A big spotlight on Dallas-Fort Worth, including a massive refinancing deal, and of course, the data center boom.
And finally, we'll wrap up with the so what, connecting all these threads to position Eureka as the authority in DFW retail. Let's jump straight into segment one, the macro paradox.
Right. So this AI scare trade, between February 11th and 19th, we saw an unprecedented sell-off in CRE services stocks.
I saw the numbers. It was staggering.
It was. We're talking about CBRE losing roughly $12 billion in market cap in 2 days. JLL plunged 14%.
Hold on. $12 billion in 2 days. If I'm sitting at a desk at Eureka and I see that, I'm thinking the whole industry is collapsing.
It certainly feels like it when you just look at the charts, right?
Yeah.
But here's the irony, and it's a rich one.
Okay.
At the exact same time their stock was tanking, CBRE posted absolute record earnings. Their revenue was up 12% to $11.6 billion.
Wow. So they're making more money than ever. Leasing is up. Why are investors dumping the stock?
Because the market is reacting to a narrative, not the numbers. The narrative is that artificial intelligence is going to disrupt the entire brokerage model.
Ah, okay.
The theory is that AI matching engines will just replace the need for human brokers. Investors got spooked that the middleman is about to be automated away.
So it's a future fear trade. They're selling based on a sci-fi prediction, not the balance sheet.
Exactly. But the reality is that these companies are actually making money from the tech boom. I mean, CBRE's data center revenue was up 40%.
So the very technology that Wall Street thinks will kill the broker is actually filling the buildings the broker gets paid to lease.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the idea that a chaotic, high-stakes negotiation for a 50-story tower is going to be handled by a chatbot next year is premature at best.
Right. Relationships still drive this business.
They do. But let's look away from the stock market for a second. If you want to see the real health of the market, you look at the debt.
The lifeblood of the industry. So is the money moving?
The thaw is undeniable. The CACA markets are back. In Q4 2025, CRE lending surged 30% year over year.
30% is a massive jump. Who's lending? Is it just private credit or is institutional money back at the table?
It's everyone. But banks led the charge with a 74% increase in originations. That is the signal we've been waiting for.
Okay.
And here's the other critical stat for the team. The maturity wall is shrinking.
We've been talking about this maturity wall for 2 years now, this impending doom. You're saying it's getting shorter.
It is. Debt maturities are projected to drop 9% to $875 billion in 2026. What that tells us is deals are getting done. Refinances are closing. The deal dam is breaking.
So for a transaction broker, this is a green light.
It is a flashing green light. The panic on Wall Street is noise. The lending recovery is the signal.
That's a perfect transition to our second segment, the state of retail. Because if capital is flowing, we need to know where it's going. And it seems like we're looking at two completely different retail markets.
We call this the K-shaped bifurcation. On the upper arm, you have luxury and necessity-based retail doing incredibly well. On the lower arm, well, that's where you have the mid-tier brands that are getting hammered.
Let's talk about that struggling sector first, because the headlines were just brutal this week.
They were. Wendy's is the big one in the QSR space. They announced they're closing over 300 U.S. restaurants. They just had their worst quarterly sales since 2007.
2007? That's pre-recession. That's an alarming number.
It is. And then in fashion, Saks Global is closing 9 more stores, reducing their Saks Fifth Avenue footprint to just 25 locations nationwide.
Only 25 Saks stores left in the whole country. That feels like the end of an era.
It's shrinking fast. We also saw Liberated Brands, that's Quiksilver and Billabong, filing Chapter 11, closing over 120 stores. And Eddie Bauer filed for bankruptcy as well.
When you list them out like that, Wendy's, Saks, Quiksilver, it sounds like the retail apocalypse is back. Why isn't this a sign of a broader crash?
Because context is everything here. This isn't retail is dying. It's a correction of bad capital structures. These are retailers that were overleveraged or just failed to adapt. Now, look at the other side of the coin.
You mean Simon Property Group?
Exactly. The biggest mall owner in the game. They didn't even blink at the Saks news.
Right.
In fact, immediately after Saks announced they were closing at Copple Place in Boston, Simon unveiled a $100 million redevelopment plan for that space.
So they're not even looking for another department store?
Not at all. They're replacing that box with experiential dining places like Casa Tua and a Dolce & Gabbana boutique.
So swapping a struggling department store for high-end dining and ultra-luxury fashion, that seems to be the winning playbook, right?
It's the only playbook right now for these malls. You trade up. You go from selling stuff to selling experiences. And the fundamentals support it. National retail vacancy is at a historic low of 4.8%.
4.8%. That is incredibly tight. That's basically full.
It's effectively full.
Right.
And here's the kicker. New retail construction is projected to fall 37% in 2026.
Now, that is the most important stat for Eureka Business Group right there. Construction is down. Vacancy is low.
It means landlords hold all the pricing power. Scarcity is the name of the game. If you have a well-located center and a tenant like Saks goes under, you are not panicking. You're backfilling that space with a stronger tenant, likely at a much higher rent.
So for our team, the message is don't fear the closures. View them as opportunities to upgrade the tenant mix.
Correct. You want that Wendy's pad site back? Great. You could probably lease it to a better concept for 20% more rent tomorrow.
Okay, let's bring this down to the ground level. Let's talk Texas and the DFW market, segment 3, the DFW deep dive. The big headline grabber was the Crescent.
Oh, yeah. This was a massive vote of confidence. The Crescent, that iconic office complex in uptown Dallas, secured a $596 million refinancing deal.
Nearly $600 million. And this is for an office property. I thought the narrative was that office is unfinanceable.
Commodity office is unfinanceable. You know, a bland glass box in the suburbs. But trophy office is different. This deal proves that for Class AA assets, capital is there, even with the DFW office vacancy rate at a painful 25.3%.
That's a crucial distinction. It's not just office, it's the right office. But we're seeing strength outside of office too, right?
Absolutely. Park Place Dealerships just broke ground on a $26 million Porsche showroom on Lemon Avenue. That tells you everything about high-end retail demand in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. And on the industrial side.
Sonair Products acquired 124,000 square feet in North Richland Hills to double their headquarters. And Trammell Crow reached the topping out milestone on the Knox Street project. The cranes are still moving.
They are. But we do have to talk about the headwinds. In Texas right now, the headwinds aren't always economic. They're becoming more political.
Yes. This brings us to a couple of really strange land use stories that popped up.
Right.
First, there's the Sustainable City USA project out in Kaufman County. A 2,300-acre community by a Dubai-based developer. Well, the Texas Attorney General has opened a probe into it.
And the concern there isn't zoning, it's cultural.
It's complex. Ugh. The AG is investigating allegations about Sharia law principles, which the developer completely denies. But from a real estate perspective, the takeaway is just that foreign investment in Texas land is under a microscope now.
It creates a layer of reputational risk that wasn't there before.
It does. And then you have the rumor about the Hutchins warehouse. A million-square-foot warehouse was supposedly sold to Homeland Security for an ICE detention center.
And did that happen?
Majestic Realty, the owner, came out and flatly denied it, said no such sale occurred. But the thing is, the rumor alone caused a huge stir. It highlights that even industrial assets are now part of a political tug of war.
A more complex landscape than just location, location, location. Speaking of which, let's move to our final segment, the Texas data center boom.
This is the story that is going to define the next decade for Texas CRE, I think.
We have a report from JLL that makes a really bold prediction. Texas is projected to overtake Virginia as the world's largest data center market by 2030.
That's a massive shift. Northern Virginia has been the king for a long, long time. But they're running out of power. Texas has the land and, theoretically, the energy.
You say theoretically, because we're seeing friction there, too.
We are. It is not a rubber stamp environment anymore. Just look at San Marcos. The city council there just blocked a $1.5 billion data center project.
$1.5 billion. Why would they block that?
Water and power. Communities are waking up to how resource-intensive these facilities are. A data center consumes water and electricity like a small city, but it only employs maybe 30 or 40 people.
So the not-in-my-backyard sentiment is shifting from, say, an apartment complex to a server farm draining the aquifer.
Exactly. So while demand is infinite, the entitlement risk, the risk that you buy the land but can't get zoning approval, is skyrocketing.
It's not just about having power lines nearby anymore. It's about political will.
Correct.
Okay, let's wrap this up. We've covered a lot of ground. What does all this mean for Eureka Business Group?
Let's synthesize it into 3 points. First, ignore the stock market panic. That's noise.
Uh-huh.
The signal is that lending is up 30%, so money is flowing again.
Second point.
Retail is tight. 4.8% vacancy. If you represent landlords, you have all the leverage. But you have to watch your tenant mix. If you have exposure to those lower K brands, you need a proactive backfill strategy. Now,
and finally, DFW is strong, but it's split.
Correct. DFW is still the nation's number one CRE market. But you have to navigate it. Trophy assets and industrial are winning. Commodity office is still struggling. And land development is facing these new political hurdles.
So here's our final provocative thought for everyone listening. We saw the stat that data center construction has now surpassed office development for the first time in history.
It raises a pretty fascinating question, doesn't it? Are we entering an era where digital real estate literally eats physical real estate?
Think about it. If everyone is shopping online, driving demand for data centers and warehouses, is the smartest retail play actually just logistics in disguise?
And if AI takes over white-collar jobs, do we need office buildings, or do we just need more server farms to house the AI employees?
Something to mull over as you look at your deal pipelines this week. Use these insights. Assert your authority in the DFW market. We will see you on the next Deep Dive.